Good morning. This is Morning Edition on your NPR news station, WBHM. I'm Scott Hanley. Americans tend to think of the Civil War as a domestic conflict, a war between brothers. But the war didn't take place in a vacuum. It had great implications for the international community. University of South Carolina history professor Don Doyle examines the Civil War through an international lens in his book, The Cause of All Nations. He spoke to WBHM's Andrew Yeager.
One of the things that I realized very early on in my research was that at least the European world and the Latin American world especially were watching this war, this American conflict. It was important to them, partly because their governments, particularly in Britain and France, Mexico, they had a lot at stake in the war, and there was concern that Britain or France or both might become involved in either a war with the United States or an alliance with the Confederacy. So they had a stake in it. They were also concerned, of course, that the war meant the disruption of the cotton trade, and that would bring and did bring great distress to all of Northern Europe, not just Britain.
What did they think of the United States as war broke out?
The United States is kind of the exemplar of the democratic experiment or the republican experiment, that idea that people can govern themselves without kings, without priests. And in most of Europe, the republican experiment, which was raised, of course, with the French Revolution and continued to be an embattled project, it had failed. And when I say failed, it had been squashed. And now the so-called Great Republic that they saw across the Atlantic was failing. And so for aristocrats, they were delighted. But for others who believed that people could govern themselves, they saw the American question as their own battle. They saw themselves having a lot at stake in the outcome of what they called the American question.
I want to ask about the issue of slavery, the central question, because in the North, you had tension around that issue. Lincoln,
yes,
starting off the war, did not publicly say that that was the reason. Why did you have this tension?
The South, several of the states, issued declarations of causes and made it very clear that the reason they were seceding from the nation was because it was now under the control of a party that was hostile to the institution on which their livelihoods rested, and that this was a threat to slavery. Once the war began, and once they went abroad, they decided to kind of cover that and to deny that slavery was the issue. They simply were splitting off from the Union because they wanted to maintain low tariffs. This was, of course, very appealing to cotton importers, and that slavery was not the cause or the motive for secession. Now, the question is, why did the Union deny slavery to be the main cause that they were fighting for? Lincoln had to deny that he had any power, and then he went further to deny that he had any intention to interfere with slavery in the states where it already existed. What Lincoln was trying to do was to say, look, this is a rebellion without cause. I do not threaten slavery in the states. These people are declaring their independence, first because of a kind of false fear, an ungrounded fear of abolitionist intentions of the Republican Party and Abraham Lincoln. And he wanted to demonstrate to the world that, and to those who might recognize the South, that this is a rebellion, an insurgency that is without any kind of moral, constitutional, or legal grounding or legitimacy.
So what moved Lincoln from making that that legal argument to embracing slavery as a central issue later on in the war?
I try to tell that story within an international context, because the Emancipation Proclamation that he came to, that was foreign policy as much as domestic policy. Early on, Lincoln understood that, and he was informed by his diplomats abroad, particularly Carl Schurz. Schurz had told him, after coming back from Spain, that all of the governments of Europe were monarchist, aristocratic, and they wanted nothing more than for America to fail. But that the people, at least the liberal public, were hoping for the Union not just to survive as a Union, but to survive as an example of republican institutions, of freedom, And Lincoln said to him, this is in now January or early February of 1862, way before we think Lincoln had made this kind of moral turn toward emancipation, he tells Shores, you may be right. You probably are right. No government in Europe is going to take the side of slavery against that of freedom. But, he said, we're not ready for that turn yet. Once Lincoln was able to make this a war against slavery, the Union had aligned itself with this liberal public opinion that Shores had talked about. That was the key, this public diplomacy campaign, this soft power appeal to Europe.
Well, the war did end in 1865. You know, looking at it from an international perspective, you know, if the war didn't turn out the way it did, then what?
The world would have looked very different. It seems clear that had the Confederacy come out of this victorious, that slavery would have gotten a whole new life. Cuba, Brazil, other strongholds of slavery would have held on, would not have abandoned slavery as they began to do in the 1870s and 1880s. But I think the other thing was that the idea of democracy, the Republican experiment, as they called that, I think it would have really received a fatal blow had the Union failed. And that's why, you know, Lincoln's famous speech at Gettysburg really captured the essence of the war for so many people around the world. And that speech would have a long, long life in the rhetoric of Europeans, particularly British, of government of the people, by the people, for the people, and that it shall not perish, he said, from the earth.
University of South Carolina Professor Don Doyle speaking about his book, The Cause of All Nations, with WBHM's Andrew Yeager.